Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So as you know, that is my dad, not my brother. It was quite interesting just because when Duncan arranged kind of who was going to be hosting, who was going to be preaching, and I saw my name and then I was like, so who am I going to be hosting with? It's kind of interesting. You might have a dynamic with who you're hosting with. And he put my dad. So I'm guessing it was probably done on purpose, not unintentional. But unfortunately, Duncan isn't even here to defend himself today. Although it's on audio, so. So as it says behind me, I'm going to be talking about guidance as part of our life service summer Sundays. Last 2 weeks ago, Andy talked about the assurance of salvation. And I think the key point is to kind of get into the habit of learning actual words that God has written and memorizing them, because I think then it becomes something that's kind of not only in your head, but in your heart that you really feel like is a part of you, and you can kind of take that out into the world and as you're living with him and for him. And even though this talks about guidance, I think as much as anything, this is about a journey of discovery, discovering more about God as you walk with him on your own individual journey. So with the first, the next slide is just about the verse, the passage I was meant to learn and memorize. So I'll hide my notes so no one thinks I'm cheating. Andy moved this completely away. So it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, which is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Right? Like, I just realized that because of my height a bit, I'm a bit blocking the PowerPoint. So one disadvantage of being tall is there already. But I think, as I said, like, this passage is not just about what God will do in terms of his infinite wisdom in guiding you, but it is walking with him and learning more about who he is. And as the next slide shows, first of all, thinking about what that first phrase of trust in the Lord means with all your heart. To trust in someone is to kind of place your trust and your confidence in something. It's not just having the idea that God is this all honest, all powerful, all good God, but it's actually actively placing your confidence in that truth in your lives, and so that means actually living it out, and that goes into kind of the guidance element of it. And if we go back to even a verse that a lot of you I'm sure will know, in John chapter 3 verse 16, about, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life." That is a truth of love, of what God has done for us, what Jesus did by coming and dying for us. That it's not just this kind of, these passages and these, this message that's so clear and so obvious, but it's something that actually he did for us individually and everyone here personally who knows him. And so that's how we're called to be children of him. That eternal life is, as John chapter 17 verse 3 says, is to know Jesus Christ whom he sent. So it's not just what he's done, but it's learning more about him each and every day. That it's not like an exam of your studying as academic, but it's a journey knowing more about God. And God loves us so much that he wants us to know more about him and to grow in knowing him. That it's not just that, as Andy talked about 2 weeks ago, the point of salvation, but it's also about, once that has happened, you're continuing to walk with him as children of God. And so think about, even before thinking about being guided by God, think of this as a journey to learn more about him, whatever stage you might be at in your relationship with God. Psalm chapter 48, verse 14, again, the promise is that God is our, he's a God and he's our guide even to the end, for the whole of this life, and we believe next life, that he is our guide, that he will stay faithful to us. He will continue to be with us. And not only that, he had, his will for us is good and pleasing, no matter what it necessarily looks like. That these are foundational promises that God has given us, that he's good, he's pleasing, he's perfect, but he's with us all the way. Even however things may look in our lives, he's always with us. As the next slide shows, instead of thinking of ourselves in terms of being son slaves to God, were children of God, so were sons and daughters. And that distinction, I feel, is so important when you read John chapter 15, verse 15, which is that, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, or all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." That we've been called to be friends, and if you think of what slavery's been like and what slaves have been like, the slave might be working in the plantation yard while the master is back and doing his own stuff, and you have no idea of what the plan of the master is. It's kind of isolated. But if you're a friend, you know your friend, so you know what he's up to. You can find out what he's up to. I kind of think in terms of like an earthly example. Like at home, like with my dad, he's working. He might be working at home, but like whether it's me, my sister, or my mum, will happily go and interrupt him, and he's so gracious and like willing to open us in. This isn't going to become a dad promotion speech. I'm not going to allow it. But because we can ask God at any time what is his will is, we can look at his word, we can ask him directly for infinite wisdom. That idea of being a friend rather than a servant or a master, that distinction I think is really important, because even before thinking about trusting or guiding in someone, I want to believe that this person has my best interest at heart, but not just read about it in an academic, intellectual sense, but know that I can directly talk with him even now. I can ask him for wisdom, I can ask him for understanding, and that he loves us so much that he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to understand his will, that we have actual tools. It's not just we're left with nothing. We can pray to God, we can ask him for help, we can read his word, we can ask him to directly give us wisdom to understand what his will is, that he's, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12, what God has freely given us. It's not at a price. That once salvation has happened, it's free. It's no clauses, there's no conditions. It's something that's completely free for all of us. And I think what that may look like is that if you have that slave mindset, you might think your actions are what earn God's trust of you, what earn you access to God. That, yes, there is a part of obedience, but if I have the attitude that if I just continue to do right, then God will love me, and if I don't, then I'm away from that, that is kind of almost poisonous, and that is a lie, that we're always available. God is always available for us if we just ask him, that he just wants us to come into him so we know more and more about what he has for us. And the next slide is about the contrast between trusting God versus trusting in the world, because it's easy to say, let's just be guided by God, but there's all these other distractions and temptations that can come in. Even like looking at the world this week in terms of like terrorism, we've heard about these gun attacks in America, trying to put your trust in the world can feel like quite a dark, lack of hope, dreary place. The world can constantly kind of build us up and then tear people down. You see it in, you read about politics, you read about news in general. There's a lot of, I guess, judgment out there. I think in society we like to build people up really quickly, but then we're really willing to tear them down very quickly. And like the way God treats us is so different. But a lot of people you go around and see in the world, they only trust in the world. They want certain things like fame, fortune. They want to continue passing up the kind of career ladder. Like I found that in my 20s. Like this is probably the first year I've had a real job, and you get to have an understanding of how people act and what they're motivated by. And those things of like wealth, health, relationships, we can't really take this past this life. Like the money you earn in this life isn't going to carry you on. So do you want to put your trust in something that is not forever? But God is faithful, God is forever, eternal. So your heart will want these things, it will want the earthly things, but the heart is deceitful. It can be sick. It can have evil thoughts. But you contrast that with how your body is, how your body will deteriorate over time. And like even this picture, it just kind of shows what a life is like of someone, and their body will deteriorate over time. And I've kind of found that with my own personal story of how I've been guided. Like, it's a lot related to my feet. So I've had long-term flat feet pain that causes me pain. It's like even sometimes just standing up for a while. And I've had it for about 12 years. And even at my age of 24, you kind of think, my body's not meant to deteriorate at this point. Like, it should be 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. But no one here is in their 30s or 40s. Everyone here is in their 20s. Soon some people are going to start throwing apples at me, so I'll keep it going.
Keep going.
I will. So just in terms of, I feel like that has given me quite a good perspective on how earthly things, they won't last. And even as I've kind of matured and I'm continuing to mature, you have the understanding that the worldly things that you want to outside of God, that you want to guide your life, they're not going to last. So why would you then trust in that over trusting in God? Like, God kind of preaches a lot in the Bible about stillness, like going to the story of like Mary and Martha, that Martha, they invited Jesus into their house, and Martha was doing a lot of serving, like outwardly, like cooking and just being very busy, but she became very like distracted, whereas Mary was kind of calm and still. But that stillness is what Jesus wanted out of her, because he said that she had chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away. And I think sometimes being still and knowing who the Lord is, that is your area of being guided. I feel like that was quite key for me. Sometimes guidance might look like God says to do something, like with Moses, you need to take the Israelites away from out of Egypt, and that then you go. And it might be a long, long journey. But for other people, it might just be that God is asking you just to be still, or you haven't heard anything yet, and you think being guided is kind of a big, big decision. But sometimes it is just keep going the way you are. And so like tapping into God, learning more about him as he's asked us to learn more about him and wants us to, is how you can continue to be guided. That I think a lot of what the world is kind of preaching again is being assertive, being confident, making your own decisions, but waiting on God may also be what God is asking you to do. So I think that might touch on, for some people, it might be that God is directly asking you to do something, but understand that God has different ways of using us and different ways of wanting to be guided by us. So on the next slide, so lean not on your own understanding. Oh, sorry. So this is just a picture of kind of comparison. Again, being in my 20s, and you kind of see it more of, it's very easy to get caught in wanting to be, to compare yourself with others. I feel like growing up with social media makes that really powerful, because if you look at something like Facebook and Instagram, it's meant really to be for like talking with friends and like seeing what they're up to, but that quickly can spiral if your mindset is off, which I think it, for a lot of people it is, of, oh, this person has a great life, this person's gone on a great holiday, this person's getting married, where's my life at? And so then it's easy to be guided by what the world wants are, but, and that can kind of spiral you quite quickly. So like, for me, it's not so much that social media, but something like LinkedIn, which I know all of you are in your 20s, but you may have heard of LinkedIn as well. We established that we've got average of 20s. But for those of you who don't know, LinkedIn is, it's, kind of a business website where you kind of list your qualifications. And it's not really social media, but I've noticed that when I go on it, you see what promotions your jobs and jobs that your friends who you met at school have got. And it's very easy again to then compare yourself. And I think again with my kind of situation, in a way I feel like it's held me back. I'm not maybe as far as my heart would want me to be in certain areas in terms of career, not necessarily sure what I want. And I think that might apply to certain people just generally in life. You might feel like, I thought at this stage, at this age, I would be here. I found that throughout when I got my kind of school results, like what university I went to, it probably wasn't the one I wanted to go to the most, but other friends got their first choices. That comparison kind of seeps in at any age, and I guess that continues as you get into, maybe you have relationships, you have marriages, kids, and you might compare your kids with other parents' kids, and that is clearly not like an age thing, it's just like a human thing of our hearts we want to be superior to other people, but God is kind of asking us to have peace and be still. That Isaiah chapter 55 says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That God is saying what he desires for us is different to what our hearts want. It's different to what we may want. And so when you understand that, you realize that to follow him, you have to then be guided by him. It's not just working in our own infinite wisdom. We go to the one who has infinite wisdom for us. But also that is hard. I mean, I've basically had this issue personally for half of my life at this point, and I'm still dealing with it. For other people, it may have been longer. If you take Moses, his journey, that was 40 years. So if you could imagine, if I added on like another 28 years, would I be calm and be willing to wait that long? Like, it can be hard, and God has different timelines and different paths for all of us. And even it can be easy to make kind of reasonable excuses that, like, I feel like I've waited enough, I've been patient, God, now I feel like now it's time to reap the rewards. But God will continue to be like, no, it has to be on your path. It has to be on his way. Examples in the Bible of people who kind of, I guess, went on the full journey, but they felt like they weren't being guided. You take Moses, when he was called by God to lead the Israelites, he felt like he was unqualified. So like, even doing this at this age, like, sermon and speaking, sometimes you can feel like the devil is chatting away at you, thinking you're not qualified, you haven't got enough experience, there's nothing to share, and that can prevent you from actively going in the path God is guiding you. It's not always your heart saying that I know what God is wanting for me, but I want to go in a different way because my heart is saying that. Sometimes it's just you feel like you know what God is saying, but you don't feel like you can actually do it. But it's not in our strength, it's in God's strength. And to keep pressing into not thinking about it in terms of what I can do, or what each of us can do, but what God can do for us, and what God is continuing to do for us in terms of his strength and his infinite glory. And the fact that he loves us means that we again can go to him at any point. And I think that's quite a powerful message to continue thinking about, that it's not just, you look at the devil, and the devil is said in the Bible, in God's word, in John chapter 8 verse 44, to be the father of lies. So we know that if things are chatting away at me in my head, but they're not in the word, that if they're from the devil, they are lies, and that I can understand that and continue to press more into God as a result of that. And then on the next slide, so the last element, first talking about trust in the Lord with all your heart and then lean not on your own understanding. So in all your ways to acknowledge him. So in some versions it will say submit. And there are different ways of, I guess, acknowledging God. But instead of thinking about it in terms of this is just out of obedience, this is an opportunity to learn more about God as a result. So like tithing is quite a powerful one in terms of giving. Is it 10% of your income? And even though in the Bible God talks about loving to be, he wants cheerful givers, he wants you to give according to what you're able to give. Also thinking about, you look at the widow in Luke chapter 21 who was completely, basically poor, couldn't give as much as those around her, but gave everything she had. And sometimes giving everything you have to God, whether it's your heart or your time, is not just for the church's benefit, but for you. Think of it as an act of pressing deeper into God. Because if you know more about God's words and what he has for you out in the world and in your lives, you can kind of spot it more for yourself. And I found that quite powerful even this week, as the next slide shows. Honestly, this week when I was kind of talking to Andy, I was kind of unsure like what my main point for guidance was. How has God really guided me in my life? Because I looked at my job and it didn't look like it was adding up. But when I became to be, as like we sung today, like sing louder, like give glory, hallelujah to God, be grateful, I began to see how God has guided me to where I've been. So as like a personal testimony, the job I'm in now, they offer something which is like called private medical insurance, which allows me to kind of see different physios who are helping me to get stronger and stronger. And even though that's helpful, I even had, I went to then go see kind of experts to just get second opinions on how my situation is going. And they said, one doctor said to me that I definitely have to have surgery, which would take 1 year on each leg. So I'd be out for 2 years, not really weight bearing, like almost like wheelchair bound. So I thought, and he was like, definitely, like, no question. But I went to go see different opinions who said, like, actually physio would help you. And even looking at my foot already, when I'm like not weight bearing, so like lifting myself up, I can see like arches in my feet already. And that's beginning to develop. But but if I had kind of strayed off from what I thought God was telling me, actually, you need to go see a physio, then like I probably would have been down a different road. Again, even to get the job, I was in a job at the firm, but to get the private medical insurance, you had to be there for 3 months. Before 3 months, I was almost dead certain of leaving. I then got offered a new job, which actually kept me on for longer, so I stayed to get the private medical insurance. I didn't think the interview went too well. I thought I'm meant to be doing a job which is like a lot of concentration, but when I sent my CV to my supervisor, I spelt her surname wrong in the email. And so I thought that would have been like, nope, you're not gonna get it. But I'm still at the job for about 7 months, so it must have been okay. And then on to the next slide. Just thinking about how God has directed us in different ways. So you might have been directed like by Moses or by Ruth in the Bible, who went to go be with her in-law, Naomi, and moved completely across the country. Or you might be like Joseph, where you've had big promises promised for you, and you can't quite see where you're, how God is now guiding you. You feel like you've gone a bit off track. But as we sung again today about sometimes trusting God's mystery for you, trusting where God is meant to be taking you, trust that even though you don't have all the answers, that as it says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So for some of us, we might have like a lamp on our feet. We might be able to see the next steps, but we can't see where it leads. I feel like that's like for me personally, but for other people, you might see where God is trying to take you, but you're not sure how he's going to direct the steps. But again, trusting that God has a direct plan and promise for you. And it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, that God fulfills every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God will fulfill every promise he's made over our lives. For us, it may all look different, but Paul then talks about in Colossians that as a family in the church, we're knit together in love. So we have different stories and different circumstances, like Ornella shared earlier about her circumstances. We might have different ones, but that can encourage us as a body, the different ways we're being guided by God, and that might encourage other people. So I'd always encourage you as we move into a time of ministry, whether it's with the people up here or people next to you to share where you're at in your own journeys, because that can act as encouragement to see what God is doing in our lives. Because if God has promised certain things, he's promised goodness, he's promised that he'll be with us. If we can point to what he's done in our lives previously, we can then be confident that he's going to continue on along that journey. So going back just to finally finish on what the verse is. So we have to trust in the Lord because he wants us to learn more about him. We can't lean on our own understanding because our hearts want certain things which may not be what God has for us. So we can look at what good things God has done in our lives already that we could never have even imagined or predicted by his grace, because he'll make our path straight and we can have confidence in that. Thank you.